What's the name of that song?
I what?
It's a remix song. No, it's a Guess Who's Back in the House. I know it's on something.
All I'm thinking of is Who's in the House? Jesus in the House. And I know that's not what you're on about.
J.C.
There was yet again another song.
In the house, J.C. Jesus Christ is in the house today. What also was that in? Was that just a song or was that in song?
No, is that not in the fucking Jesus Freak documentary that I fell asleep to and had the weirdest nightmare of my life?
No.
No?
No. I feel like this is on the same vibe as, remember that pastor goes like, my church is big.
And it keeps getting bigger. Oh no, yeah, it might be.
Jesus Christ is, yeah.
A word that we won't say because we don't want to get cancelled.
No. But I feel like it was on that kind of a vibe. You know what I mean?
You could be right, but I still feel like that's the same vibe as the Jesus Camp documentary.
But the Jesus Camp was pure fucking, I was going to say lunacy, not that that song isn't fucking ridiculous.
Brainwash fever.
It just feels like, oh my God, sorry. As we're speaking right now and you got me to check my Instagram, some man has just messaged me.
Oh.
I'm Adam Stephen. Very fake name anyway.
Sorry. Adam's first two names, might I add.
Nah.
Literally.
Oh my God.
Literally.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ew. Disgusting. Anyway. Sorry to distract you. What? How will you feel having me as your sugar daddy and get spoiled with my money? I'm gonna will all €7,000 to you as an allowance via PayPal to pay bills and go for shopping. Then a little shopping bags emoji. I want nothing in return. Just
conversation.
Companion and kill my boredom. If you're interested, kindly get back to me saying, hi, daddy.
Hold the phone. Is this fucking the same fucking cunt that messaged me? Because
maybe so, girl.
Although I don't want to say, I feel like I was only getting offered $4,000 and now I feel like I'm being stunted. Like, hang on a minute. Hang on. Put up or shut up, Bill. Where is it? Wasn't his name Bill and all? Am I allowed to say that? I feel like I am. Old pervert in the internet fake account. Doesn't
no,
matter.
He follows my friend Sarah and he follows Bev.
Oh so, my God.
He's stalking
me all.
But that's one. And then I have another one.
Instagram is fucking wild, man.
Hello, you're so gorgeous. I just checked your profile and I like you. I would love to be your sugar daddy. I'll help you with all your financial problems. I'll spoil you with expensive gifts. I'll send you an allowance and I'll treat you like a queen. Oh, this one's offering me more.
He said, what?
I'll send you allowances, yeah, and treat you like a queen. I seek no sexual activity or contact with $10,000 monthly. Write me back if you're interested, honey.
This is why I just, my guy was Barr, actually. It was old Barry. And I feel so slighted because, hello, beautiful, can you be my sugar baby? I'm ready to help you and I'll be paying you $3,000 weekly. I'm not interested in any nudes, just chat with me every day and you're getting paid for that. Sorry, why am I only getting $3,000, Barry? The going rate seems to be 7 to 10. I'm actually feeling quite offended.
Do you know what? I think it's because I live on this corner of the world.
And
it'd be a bit more expensive. So if he's, do you know what I mean? So he's like, right, okay, I have to pay this bitch a tiny bit more.
You know, fine. I mean, that's true. I guess.
Like, it's not a personal thing. It's a location thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'll accept it. I guess I'll forgive him.
You sure you may have to?
I mean, okay. if I want my sugar baby money, what else am I meant to do? Wonder, what's the scam there? Like, what's the ultimate goal?
Yeah, I know. It must be something got to do with, like, the PayPal thing.
Right? They have to be trying to gain access to something. Because, like, what's the point otherwise? Like, it's not like, you know, if they're doing it through, like, Cash App or something. You know?
Yeah.
It's not, and I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, no problem, Barry. Let me send you $2,000 here in expectation that you're going to send me back $3,000 there in 2 days. Or whatever. Like, you know.
It's just not, it's not a
Tinder
thing.
Swindler, you know? Vibes.
Exactly, like, something is a fucking awry.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know what it is, but it's gone fucking sideways.
It's a weird time to be alive.
It really is.
Anyway, but any crack? What's happening with you?
Do I have any crack? Not really. Like, I was very responsible yesterday, so I've had, like, a weekend of drinking, got absolutely fucking rattled on Friday, but was fine. Wasn't dying yesterday, so usually if I do go out, right, I am dying the next day, but I think because I've done 2 days in a row, one has cancelled out the other. So, like, I woke up this morning fresh as fuck.
How nice for you.
I know. Now, I know, God bless Kiva.
The very opposite.
I'm sure you can hear that she's not here. She is absolutely hanging out of her arse. And do you know when you're hanging out your arse, you don't really want to listen to people talk through there. So it's like, I need to just be with myself and the toilet bowl because I'm fucking puking my ring up.
Yeah, recording a podcast about serial killer piece of shits. Just not the vibe when you were...
No.
Shortly about to meet God. Like, it's just not...
Exactly.
It's not what you need in your life. So she's been excused from today's podcast. Mm. We've given
and
her a sick
her,
day.
She gets the gawks so bad. Mm-hmm. Especially when, like, she's hanging. And there's going to be various, like, smells that will be described in this episode.
Oh, yeah, we don't need
and
that.
And I feel like, oh, she'd be vomiting on top of the mic. It would be.
No, because then, see, she'll send me off. Because I'm already, I've said this to you before we started, like, I'm fragile myself this morning. For no rhyme or reason now, mind you, I'm just old and tired. But, like, I'm a fragile person. And I'm here wrapped up in my
you
little
can feel
soft blanket.
It's okay.
Yeah, I'm literally, I'm just feeling very sensitive today.
Yeah, it's allowed.
So if she was to start actually gawking her whole life up in front of me, because I'd be joining in, it would turn into that scene from fucking Scary Movie. And
oh, yeah.
But there'd be no podcast on today. Just wouldn't be happening.
No. We'd all get it then. Because I'm fine with puke, but it's like when I hear people puke, that's when I get,
yeah.
You know, like I'll start fucking that it then and it's horrible. But no
anyway, very grim way we are starting this episode. But...
I feel like given about what we're going to be talking about anyway. Oh my God, I did get a tattoo. I forgot to say that.
We're going to talk about Caoimhe puking her ring up, but not your tattoo.
Yeah, because this is current. This happened
That's
last
true.
Week. So
true.
It was not at the forefront of my mind. It's really, you're going to see it upside down. But
and
it's like,
massive then.
Yeah, it's kind of big. But like,
I'm not judging. I'm thinking that you, like, I don't understand if you forgot a small one. It's a big, massive fucking tattoo. Is that Excalibur in a load of books?
Kind of, yeah. But there's like little twinkles and shit. I just thought it was really, really cute. And I was like, I want
is
that.
Is it on a chest? It's so hard to see, but I think I get it.
It's on, no, it's just like a load of books, like stacked like differently.
Oh.
Like what, the top books opened, kind of like or Excalibur vibes, where it's like, psh, and it looks like there's like magic coming out of the book.
I love it.
Very cute.
Is it like a knowledge is power symbolism sort of thing?
No, more of a like, I absolutely just like love books are like fantasy books in particular. Like give me sword fighting, give me romance. That's what I want. That's my heroine. It's like crack cocaine to me. Not that I've ever tried, but I am a fucking fiend for it. But I love reading anyway, so I want something that showed something that I really liked.
That's very fair.
Like, this is one for me. So yeah.
I love it.
And it was fun. I think, do I have any other news? Not an exciting life, I do lead.
Was Caoimhe over with you?
Oh, she was, yeah.
Yeah,
you did. Literally. Wait.
Because here's the thing. She vaguely mentioned to me that she was going over. And I had said that I was on a week's holidays around the same time. But obviously, as per fucking huge, my week's holidays were what? Like 2 weeks now since she went back? So 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
So bullshit. I couldn't fucking change them, right? That was the last I fucking heard of it. Then all of a sudden, I sent you a message about something, can't remember what, to the love of God what. And she just goes, yeah, just let me wait for Liz to come down and I'll ask her about it. And I was like, what do you mean? And there was just no mention of it after that. And I was like, I feel like if I was meant to know, it's awkward if I ask now. But I also don't think I actually fully knew aside from Caoimhe saying it all them fucking way went back.
Man, me and her actively sent you a voice message of us slagging you for something stupid that you had said. Or was that to Leah? No, it was to you. No, we weren't slagging Leah. Do you remember? It was something in the group chat that you had said something. It was about... No, I think it was like...
Yeah, that was the same time. It started with Caoimhe's voice note saying, when Lizzie comes down, I'll ask her. And then you both started voice noting me together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean. That was the only mention I had that you were together. There was no Caoimhe. Anyone else would be like, on my way to Dubai. Not Caoimhe. Silence.
Oh, sorry. Radio. I wasn't even sure she was coming until she texted me that she was in the fucking airport.
Genuinely. Like, and I was just like, the casual lack of mention that, like, oh, we are physically together in the same room in the same country right now. Like,
I know. Different continent and all.
Yeah.
But Matt, I don't know why. Anyway, but I don't know. I'm sure. I don't know. Did you know? Anyway, you're going to find out. So, While she was over, we managed to blag our way into getting a like a night stay in a 5-star resort out in Rosslea, like all expenses paid. Right, I'm going to shame Cuiva so much right now, so I'm going to. Right, so basically, what?
Let me get comfortable. Right, hang on.
I'm going to break it down.
Let me get comfortable.
Right, get a sweet.
Right, tell me.
Get comfortable. Right, so one of the women I live with, she's an editor for a magazine. This 5-star resort had basically reached out and asked her if she could come review the place. It would be a nice hotel, obviously, 5-star. All expenses paid, blah, blah, blah. She knew that Cuiva was coming over, so she offered it to us, right?
Okay.
And so obviously we accepted. But the night before, Cuiva went out and like met up with her cousins and stuff. Because one's like moving away, one lives here. So like she was just meeting them, right?
Okay.
We go out to meet her as well. We all get rat-arsed. Cuiva in particular, fucked, right? When I tell you, we get picked up at another 5-star hotel, like one of its sister hotels, because it's only up the road from me, via chauffeur. It was so hot in the car and your man was kind of driving a bit mad. Cuiva started vomiting in the back of the car, right? We had to pretend like on the spot, like, oh my God, did you not take your travel sickness tablets? Right? She vomited, I want to say, 3 times in the back of this fucking car. Like in her hands, it was everywhere. Thank God this man had like scented wipes. And she was like vomiting into it. I swear to God, it was, looking back, it was so funny at the time. So stressful. Anyway, we get to Ras Al Khaimah. We meet fucking camels on the road. I have a cracking picture of camels, right? Stunning. Because they're like our sheep or slash cows. It's mad. You just see them fucking littering the side of the road.
Right, right.
They upgrade us to like sea view room. But I tell you, we go in. This thing has 2 bedrooms. A massive fucking sitting room. Two bathrooms. 2 showers in 1 bathroom. Right? This was fucking... Our balcony, huge. Huge. Right? It was fucking ginormous. There was a pool. Now, we didn't take advantage of the pool because we didn't really have long enough and Cuiva was dying vomiting, so we couldn't really go in the day that we were there.
Right.
Like, you know, the first, like, couple of hours. But, like, we went. We got dinner. It was like, everything was all paid for. We could have drank, like, fish if we wanted to. We didn't, I think, because we were dying a bit. But
it might be why.
There was like live entertainment. It was like a circus show or like fucking carnival dancers. It was class. And then the next day they came. We got breakfast. The lovely waitress definitely taught me and Cuiva were lesbians. She came up to us and she started speaking to me in Russian. I was like, eh? And like, I think she obviously, because there were so many Russians there. So I think she just presumed. And she was like, oh, are you together? And in my head, I was like, well, yeah, sure. We're sitting down to eat. As in like... I didn't think she meant like together.
Well, we're not separate.
She was just like, she stood there till she was like, oh wow, and like stood there talking to us for ages. And I was like, that's kind of so weird. And then Cuiva was like, she definitely thought we were a lesbian couple. And I was like, ah.
And you just straight up told her that you were as well, which is just so magical.
Sure, just let her, because look, she probably doesn't meet many lesbians.
Oh, let it be. Honestly, let it be.
Yeah.
What difference does it make? Yeah.
Exactly. Bless her, like, oh no, hun, but sorry. I didn't know that's what you were asking me. So yeah, then we got dropped back. It was lovely. Stunning. We did a snow cinema. It was very cute.
What do you mean a snow cinema?
Don't the way they're kind of weird over here and they can like... So they have like a ski place in one of the shopping malls where all the penguins are. And like you can go like... You can learn how to ski there and everything. Like it's actually class. I kind of want to do it, but I feel like I die. But anyway, not the point. But they also have like a snow cinema. So like you go... They put on the big suits. You can... Like they give you hats, which I did rob. Well, Cuiva robbed for me. Like you get like a hot chocolate, big bag of popcorn, and there's big blankets you're put in front of like a nice little heater. You're on big
that couches. Sounds it's fucking fun. Amazing.
It's the best thing in the world. It was so wholesome and so cute. It's like -4, so it was lovely. It was grand, like not a bother. It was just stunning, just so wholesome. We went to see Blue Beetle, 10 out of 10 film, highly recommend. It's very good.
I'm like genuinely upset right now.
That's okay, you're allowed to be upset.
Like I'm so happy for you, but I'm just so like, I'm always a bit like, fuck the pair of you for being together because I'm not there. You
know? No, that's fair. If you were together, I'd be the exact same. I'd actually be Carson-y as ye were enjoying yourselves.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm so happy for you, but at the same time, fuck you both. Like, how dare ye go without me as if ye exist beyond the parameters of my existence. That's unfair and untrue.
So. Like, I expect you to stay in your bedroom at all times.
Yeah, and be sad and miss
no
me.
Outside communications. You're not allowed to do anything fun. Sorry, not when I'm not there. Excuse fucking you. How dare you enjoy yourself without me?
Yeah. What do you do? Could you not have had a shit time instead of being all cozy with your blankets and your hot chocolates with your penguins, you bastards?
No, the penguins weren't out with us. But
listen,
the
they might as well have been.
Do a little dance at some point. It's really cute.
Is he?
I'm only making it worse. I know, I'm sorry.
No, actually, I was only thinking about you as well and like all of our hanging out time because the Poughkeepsie...
Poughkeepsie Tapes!
Yeah, they're on fucking Amazon Prime now. And I said to David, we need to watch it because he needs to also verify that that shit's real, that happened, and they made a movie out of it, and it's not just fake found footage, it's found footage.
No, I was so convinced that was a fucking snuff film.
Honestly,
I'm like, no, because Extravision won't be giving it out if it was. But anyway, besides the point.
If they were good at convincing enough.
Fucked us so much. We were holding hands and crying. Nearly sure, if I remember this right.
Two things hurt us in this life, and it was the Poughkeepsie Tapes and fucking Albert Fish.
Albert fucking Fish. I wanted to rip my fucking skin off. Anytime honest I think God. Of it, I swear to God, it sends me over the edge.
Yeah, it is on Tinterwebs now, so.
Oh my God, I did forget also to mention we got complimentary massages. That just kind of popped back into my head. Like full body.
Please. I'm seething right now.
My shit was so out aligned that I was so emotional for fucking 2 days. And then I felt like I came back and I was like a completely different person.
You literally just got your chakras aligned, like.
Honestly. But I was like, I can't operate unless I'm stressed. I've learned that about myself. Because after when I wasn't stressed, I was useless. Limp piece of shit. I swear to God, I could not do a thing.
Yeah. A thing. The motivation, the fire burning of your under your arse of being stressed.
That's got shit done. And by shit done, I mean menial tasks.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But in the most like stressed out way possible. But yeah, speaking of stress, we have been rambling for a while, so we should probably.
Have we? Sure, we have not. Anyway, so look, I feel like this would be nice, short and cute anyway. So.
Oh, fair. The early life does tend to be like less informative than the murder.
Murder, exactly. Exactly.
Would you like, Elizabeth, to introduce the fuck we're doing this week and for the next 2 weeks following that also?
Okay, so fortunately, just because it's kind of a good story, but unfortunately, it's absolutely horrendous and unfortunately, like that real. We're going to be doing Canadian serial killer Robert Picton. This man is so gross. Just actually as a person. Not including the heinous crimes that he committed. But just by whiff.
By whiff.
He is so he is fucking...
The opposite of a Febreze test. Like.
Oh my God. He is so fucking gross. Like, I feel like he himself is a biohazard.
I feel like that's a fair statement. I don't think anyone would argue with you on that, to be honest.
No. No. And if you don't know already, you'll get to know and you will also agree.
Like, he can't be buried. He needs to put in a fucking bio-waste disposal facility.
Absolutely. And then studied by science or put in like a massive like petri dish and then see what fucking spores grow out of him.
We could honestly probably power the planet from him.
That or grow that kind of fungus that led to like The Last of Us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sweet mother fuck, it has a real name.
It does have a real name. Does it begin with an S? No.
Yeah, I feel like it does.
Does it? Oh my God, am I smart?
Cordyceps.
S. Do you hear me? I don't listen. Me, like, oh, I'm so fucking smart.
But it had like a soft C. It had a soft C in it, and that's why. Cordyceps.
I think I caught the last letter in that word, and I was like, yeah, that's it.
It's fine. It's good enough.
Exactly. But yeah, no, I feel like it'll be that kind of a vibe.
Yeah, he makes the more powerful gene of cordyceps and fucks us all.
Exactly. And he's evil enough that he'd probably... Just badness would grow from him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would.
But, alas, instead of conceptualizing his death, let us begin with his birth and let us dive in.
So, unfortunately, Robert Picton came into the world on October 24th, 1949. To Leonard and Louise Picton, who were pig farmers residing in Port... Now, this town is so fucking stupid and I struggled so much to say it. It's like Coquitlam. Port Coquitlam.
Coquitlam.
Coquitlam. So stupid. It sounds like you're going to whistle in the... Do you know what I mean? I don't like it. Anyway, in British Columbia.
It does sound like a noise a bird makes.
Oh my God, I figured out the other day I can kind of whistle and I sound like a bird. Anyway, that's a different party trick. I also do a really cracking police siren, but that's besides the point. Robert had an elder sister named Linda and a younger brother named David. However, while the brothers like kind of remained on the farm, Linda could not stand the family, quite deservedly, because they were all fucking awful people. So she wanted to fuck off and live with family in Vancouver just so she didn't have to be like around them at all.
It's always the daughters that have cop on.
Yeah.
It's always the daughters that get out.
They're awful. Like, they're actually awful people. And given the area that they lived in, it was like, even though they were farmers and very, very successful farmers, they were surrounded by, like, nurses, doctors, like, very, like, don't know. They were the odd ones out.
Right.
Right.
And uppity her family people.
But like still kind of sound. It was just the area that they lived in, because I think there was like a big mental hospital or something like that up the road and had like a lot of patients.
Mm, right, right. I see.
People around just kind of like the doctors and nurses just kind of like lived there.
Obviously lived near their work. Yeah, I get you.
Like that was it really like. But no, like the lads were kind of treated a little bit different, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But like Linda was treated a bit better. But even just the stink that was attached, obviously, to the home and then to the family name, she just was like, nah, I'm not doing it. Which totally I mean, fair. Like, fair enough, because really and truly, like, these people were fucking scruffs. As in, like, they wore the exact same clothes every day. They didn't wash. And it's not like they didn't have the money to not be able to afford more than one set of clothes, because they quite literally had one set of clothes.
Right.
Or paid the water bill. Like, the farm was very successful. Like, very, very successful. I don't know if it was just a case of they were fucking tight scraps arses, or they were just like scruffs to their very core.
Yeah, like unbothered by the stank.
Yeah.
Well, which like, ugh, how? Ugh.
I suppose it's just nice that at least one of them were, you know, able to avoid the miserable life of the Piggy Palace, because that's what everybody referred to the farm as, the Piggy Palace. Because
lovely. How itchy must they have been? This is what I don't understand about dirty people. Do you know when you get dirty? Do you know when you're like sick and you're sat in the soup for like 4 days and you haven't had a chance to wash yourself? How fucking itchy do you feel?
That's the thing. Like yesterday I was off and about, right? And I was absolutely sweating off my fucking hole. I was only outside for a couple of hours, but I could feel the dirt and the sweat on me. It was rotten, and all I wanted to do was go and then fucking scrub myself bare. And I couldn't. So like, right. Imagine doing like, just living in that.
Just being okay with that sensation. Mind boggling.
I wonder if it like, get to a point where it picks up like a coat. As in like, you could probably need to take like a butter knife.
Oh.
To, like, scrape the dirt off your skin.
Definitely.
You know, like when the Romans used to like, put the olive oil on their skin and like, scrape it off to like, get off the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like, that in reverse. They're actually just fucking scraping off natural dirt. No extra oil needed because it's pissing out of their pores.
Vile.
Disgusting.
Blah, blah, blah. No. Anyway, yeah, we're moving on.
See, so I mean, Kiva be vomiting at the fucking thought of this already. God bless her. So not only were the Pictons absolute dirtbirds, they were majorly batshit as well. And before I even start, right, like I said before, these people were the absolute worst of the fucking worst. So I'm not going to be a little bit bad when I tell you that they are absolute fucking creatures. Like, no, I'm not messing. Because somehow, despite not engaging in intimate familial relations, they somehow look more fucking inbred than the hillbillies do on Wrong Turn. Like,
wait, so who are they fucking though? If they're not fucking each other, who are they fucking? Who is getting up on that greasy, oily fucking? Who is getting on that pre-lubed dick? That's what I want to know. Like, who is this brave woman with no standards?
Because Leonard and Louise met each other in a coffee shop. Now, bear in mind, I think he was like 16 year old or something like that. So it's kind of giving me predator vibes. I don't know. I think it might not be predator vibes, but that's what it's given. But no, David seemed like he had girlfriends. I know Louise was doing all right. David also did manage to pull. Now, I know he like paid for some of it, but I don't know if like he paid for it all.
What the fuck? I know not everything is about looks. Okay, it's not about that. Okay, but it's the fact that they're ugly and they stank and they're weird and they're insane. Damn. Like, there's no redeeming factors here is my point. So who's writing them?
I really don't know.
I'm sorry, there, whoever has like an outside person is writing them is dirtier than them all combined. That's fucking have some
it's
fucking
like, why
standards.
Are you willingly?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, you're asking for a thrush. You're asking for it. Like, you're disgusting.
Man, that thrush would be like
never
you could
gone again.
That as fucking biochemical warfare.
Genuinely,
I thought it would fucking please God, it would be fucking horrendous.
Oh,
oh my God.
It just throws me for a loop, man. I'm sorry. I know that was very unnecessary, but like.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't at all. If anything, it was very necessary, is what we'll say. So, for example, the mother Louise. So, she was often described as being somewhat of a foghorn, but she spoke rather loudly in a persistent high screech. So that bitch is scratchy. And if you couple that with the fact that she didn't have a tooth left in her head because they had all rotted out, quite literally, you could see she was probably a tad bit unbearable to listen to. And as well as her teeth, her hair also fell out, leaving her with only a few wisps that like blew gently in the breeze. Do you imagine that?
Woman's a whole Tim Burton character.
Oh, facts. And because for the hair that Louise lacked on her head, she made up for it on her face because she rocked a stellar goatee.
Oh my God.
So a vision was not to be hating on anybody, but actually I will hate on her because she was an awful bitch. But like,
yeah, again, we do not come for anyone unless you're already a piece of shit. Then you get every single smelly detail about you fucking scrutinized and torn apart. You deserved
fucking
it.
Facts. I don't care what caused it.
Yeah, like if you're out here looking like this, but you're, you know, saving puppies and shit and adopting lost children, fair enough.
You're the best person in the world.
Exactly. Beautiful inside and out. But if you're this cunt.
So there's not much information about Leonard and what he looked like. So he's going to get a pass for now. And if anybody can find out in the state otherwise, come back to me.
Depending on how this goes, we might just slowly start making up a description of Leonard.
I'm going to say, he's very gaunt in my head. He's not a big man. Like, sullen, sunken eyes. Definitely miserable. Weathered skin as if you were to leave a leather sofa on a Spanish beach for 6 months.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
Like, he looks that bad, but he's only 40. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking. But Leonard wasn't actively present in the home or in his kids' lives. Like, he was too busy working the farm to be any way involved in the family's lives. But it's said, not that it's known to be true, that any time he was home, he made sure that the kids were, like, rightly disciplined. But that's all it really is, because when he wasn't working, I think he was just relaxing at home. That's why we, know nothing. Like, there is sweet fuck all information about him. So
he's literally just a dad at the time, like, just came home for the kids' nightly beatings, and that's that.
Yeah. Like, if anything, Louise was the fucking Delulu lally. Like, she was... We will see why she wasn't well, but, like...
Fair.
And so she was kind of left to rear the two boys. Well, the three kids, because Louise didn't... Linda didn't piss off to, like, that little bit later, but...
Mm.
I feel like she was just kind of looking after herself anyway because she didn't really like the family.
Yeah.
And, like, she didn't help out on the farm, so it's kind of like, well, her boys were the ones looking after her, so she definitely gave them, like, more attention and stuff.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, like I'd mentioned earlier, life at the Piggy Palace was nothing short of fucking misery. Louise had Robert and David feed 200 pigs twice a day every day, so when they woke up, they had to feed the pigs. They would leave their lunch break in school to go feed the pigs and then come back, right? So, good one, could you imagine the stink?
Mm-hmm.
From one being around the pigs and then from sweating their fucking holes off from trying to get all that done in such a short space of time that they would have had for their lunch. And it's also worth noting that the pigs were allowed to roam inside the family home where they were free to fucking drag their shit all through the house.
So just every single bit of everything that they owned smelled like pig.
Yeah. And not just pig shit as well. Could you imagine Rob and Dave having to go to fucking school after sleeping in a literal shit filled house? And then spending the morning and their lunch breaks feeding pigs. Like, they stank. They were, I'd say the pong off of them is nothing short of hell.
I don't know how they could bear it. Because if you remember, we had a particularly stanky fucking classmate. And it was nothing to pig shit level. But by God, was he difficult to be near. So how were they not just like biting bottles of links? You know what I mean?
I don't know. Actually, speaking of that person, I remember Ev telling me a story of when they were in Irish class. God bless. Evelyn was the only girl in the class, which is like, I don't know why they did that to her. That was fucking awful. But anyway, like, leaving her with all the lads. But that one particular lad, anyway, that stank really bad. A cousin of mine. The teacher was a girl as well. And my cousin literally turned to the guy and was like, it's so unfair what you're doing, especially around the women. He's like, they shouldn't have to smell your shit stink, your ball sweat. And he was like, do you know how to use a bar of soap? And he like called him out in front of the fucking entire class. He's like, I can demonstrate. He's like, you get the water, you get the soap, you do a scrub, 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 and like motion to like scrubbing his balls or some shit as well. And it's like, then you're done, then you're fine. Like, oh my God.
Publicly shamed. Honestly.
Shamed big time. And I guarantee you that is still not even on par.
No.
With how Robert and fucking David smelled. Now,
ripe. They
David
must have been
better off, but fucking disgusting. And do you know the thing as well? Like, Louise wouldn't let them take showers. She'd only let them take baths, which I assume they all shared the same fucking dirty bath water. And it's probably a once a fortnight occurrence. And I feel like that's being generous. It was probably once a month.
Oh.
But like, I don't know what her beef was with the shower, but like, that even led Robert to having like a fear of showers, where he'd only have like baths.
It was definitely just not wanting to pay out the extra money on the water bill, like.
Probably. Is that because like there's just no other reason why?
No, there literally is no other reason why, like, unless she's one of those mad bitches that's like, oh, a healthy coat of dirt and they'll never get sick.
I'm sorry, I'd rather than be sick if you just seen what the fucking, like, the shite that they turn out to be, but I feel like
genuinely
be those awful people anyway. So while in school, Robert was given the nickname Piggy. So not the most creative, mind you. But it was simple and it was effective. Now, he was horrendously bullied. David, not so much, just because he was that bit more social. Like, tried to go out of his way to talk to people. And I think he did, like, secretly take a shower, even though he knew he wasn't meant to. Like, I think he washed more than David now, or Robert, but still, David still stank. Just not as severe.
But this is what we're saying about who you are matters just as much as what you
now,
look
he's still
like
an
or
awful
how
piece
you
of
smell.
Shit. He's still an awful piece of shit now, is David. When he was in school.
On the surface, I feel like, more likeable.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, he even had, like, a few girlfriends and stuff like that as well, which I'm like, how? But anyway, none of my business. Now, Robert, bless him, was as tick as the pig shit that coated his fucking family home, because, God bless him, he was put in special ed. There was not a lot.
Oh, no.
Not a lot going on up here. And he remained in special ed until he dropped out at age 14. So, when he did eventually drop out, he said it was some bullshit because he got in a fright with a principal because he had, like, a pen and there was, like, a naked girl on it or something. Don't believe it at all. Like, if realistically, he would have dropped out just so he could work on the farm, and he didn't want to say it was just because he wanted to work on the farm.
Yeah.
You know? And to be fair, I'd say it's probably, like, the relentless bullying he suffered while being in school. Like, it didn't help.
I mean, no, it's not somewhere you're going to want to go every day, is it? If you're being fucking slated for smelling like pig shite and being a fucking creepy little weirdo. So.
Exactly.
Understandable. I'd be dropping out of school too if I was that big of a loser.
Fucking same. No offense. Actually, full offense. He's a fucking freak. What am I apologizing for?
Pure loser. Actual loser boy.
Oh, loser.
So.
And he hated the kids in school, but he found solace among the pigs. And even in the pigs, because apparently when Robert was stressed or scared, he would hide out in the hollow carcasses of dead pigs.
I fair thought you were about to tell me he found solace in the pig pussy. Like, I did not think.
No, but do you
we
know
were
what?
Going into pig, like he's climbing into the womb. Pig carcass style.
But the thing is, right, I'm not going to say he didn't shag pigs. Like, but also, do I want to start that rumour? Absolutely.
Yes, Robert picked and shagged the pigs. I don't, I accept no other version of the story. He shagged the pigs. He found solace in the pigs. Please, what else does that mean? He shagged them.
Now, that was just my wording, but I'm trying to start a rumour here. I'm actively trying to start
rumor. Sorry, excuse me. What do you say about rumour? It's a cesspool fact.
It's a fact.
Confirmed.
I take it back.
Trademarked Robert picked and shagged pigs.
Facts. You heard it here first.
Robert
unless it actually is mentioned somewhere else. We just don't know. Just in case.
We'll find out. Listen, I will do some hard and heavy research to find out if I find any pig shagging.
Do, and let me know.
For episode 2.
And, like, there was also this story that they were like, this led him to be a sick fucking killer, which I don't believe, right? Because only because I have an uncle that went through, like, something sort of similar, and I might ring Bert to ask him to tell the full story. Anyway.
And this one, you find out he's a serial killer.
Oh my God, imagine. That would be so interesting. Anyway, so apparently fucking little Robert had saved and saved and saved to buy this little fucking calf at one of the, like, the, at one of the markets, like. And he was rearing it as his own, was, like, taking great, great care of it. He came home one day to find the cow hung upside down, had been bled fucking dry to slaughter. But this thing was more, like, it was meant to be his pet as opposed to, like, livestock.
Right.
So, like, he was trying to use that as, like, this was a fucking trauma for me. This really set me off. That, I'm sorry, as sad as that is, and as obviously as traumatic as that fucking is, that one little incident, my love, is going to make you turn out to be a fucking serial killer that murdered up to 49 fucking women. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? And something similar like that happened to my uncle. And I feel like I should ring Bert and ask him.
I feel like I remember the story as well. Was it his rabbit?
No, not a rabbit. I think it was a sheep. I'm going to ring my father.
I love it. Live action confirming.
Hello?
Yeah.
Well.
Hello.
Come here. So I am with Savannah. Keeve isn't here because she's useless and is absolutely vomiting through her fucking hole.
Loop.
Is what?
Anyway, but I'm rambling.
I didn't know what to know about her bodily functions are alright.
Right, come here. Anyway. Actually, speaking of bodily functions, I actually have another question for you after the one that I'm planning to ask you first. So, remember, who was it that had, was it a lamb?
Right.
Bernie.
The lamb came about. Yeah.
Yeah. What happened with that?
Dottie was a butcher.
Dottie was a butcher, right.
Yeah. And he walked with a fellow who had a farm.
Right.
Right. And the lamb was born and the mother wouldn't look after it. The mother came out and ignored it. So
right, right.
It was going to die.
Right.
Right. So he asked Dottie, did he want it? He said to Dottie, if you can't rear it, Well, you can sell it then, you know, when it gets older.
You're right.
So he brought it home into the cement shed.
Yeah.
We used to feed it with the Guinness bottles with a teat on it.
Right.
Right, milk.
Yeah.
Right, and then when it got a bit older, myself and the lads, 6 or 7 of us, used to go down to the field with big sticks and let the lamb used to graze in the field, and then we bring it back up.
Yeah. But did something happen? What happened to Bernie?
He slit his throat and chopped him up. He chopped them all up, right? He chopped them all up and put them in the freezer.
Right.
I mean, the mother in law of the merchants was devastated that Bernie was dead. 2 weeks later, she had the best lamb chops she ever had. After that, he told her it was Bernie she was after eating.
I just remembered that, or like I partially remembered it because it kind of is somewhat, thought it was kind of more relating to the story, but anyway, it made for a funny anecdote. Come here, also, was there something got to do with the bladder, and did somebody squeeze piss into somebody else's face?
He was cutting them up. Craig's friend beside him peeped over the wall and came in for a nosy, and Dolph said, look, and he grabbed it by the piss bag and
the piss bag.
Oh god, no, sorry, I'm actually crying, that's so funny. Well, I suppose that's what you get for being nosy. You're going to get an eye full of fucking lamb piss.
He was done full of that, so he held it by the Michael and squeezed the piss bag down
to him. Okay, that was 10 out of 10 hilarious. Right, thanks for that.
Bye.
Right, go on, bye. Fucking quality.
The fact that Bert had no prompt, no idea you were going to call, no idea what we're talking about, and you just went, you know, the lamb, and he was like, right, here's the story with the lamb, straight up, like, no hesitation.
Man knew what to do when we were smaller, but in my head I fucking forgot that my nanny Lizzie loved the lamb and she was the one that wanted to fucking rear it,
right?
And it was poor fucking Lizzie who was eating Bernie and then was got told that it was actually...
It's so fucking grim, man, honestly.
But it's the whole fucking your man having nose to see what he was doing, so he got the fucking bladder and squeezed it in his face. He's got a fucking eye full of piss.
He'll never be fucking nosy again, though, will he?
Do you know what? Actually, no, teaching fucking life lessons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck.
That was so funny.
I'm pretty sure your nanny Lizzie never turned into a serial killer.
Exactly. This was the whole point of the fuck. This was the moral of the story. So Pollux, was it?
A harmless poltergeist, but a serial killer she is not.
Exactly. No. So when Robert was 14, the family moved from their pig shit infested home to another pig shit infested home. But this time, it was a bit bigger and it had some cool special features, like, I don't know, plots of quicksand, a black bubbling lagoon, and an additional 500 pigs.
Oh, fabulous. So
there was a lot going down.
And fresh pickings.
I thought I was just fucking mad that there was like quicksand in Canada. Can I just be the first to say? Like, I feel like that's a lie, but apparently it's real.
I mean, I guess it makes sense.
Does it?
Yeah, well, like, it's just unstable terrain, isn't it? So anywhere can have quicksand.
Yeah. That's actually very fair. Anyway. That's fine. So, a pivotal story from Robert's childhood, which doesn't directly involve him, but revolves around his older brother, or his younger brother David, and their mother Louise. So, on October 16th, 1967, David Picton was driving his father's red truck near Dominion Avenue shortly after getting his driver's license. Now, the details of the incident are unclear, but something occurred to let David hitting 14-year-old Tim Barrett, who had been walking home from a friend's house along the side of the road. Now, I'm only speculating, but Tim was hit from behind, right? So he wouldn't have been able to see the car or would have been able to jump out of the way on time. And I don't know, just given that the family are full of psychopaths, mm-hmm. I find it just a tad bit suspicious. Like, look, I suppose David could have been speeding. I don't know if it was around a sharp turn, because then I feel like then people would have come to the conclusion that, oh, he must have took the turn too fast and, like, hit him.
You know what I mean? Yeah, because, like, even at that, then, if he's taking a turn too fast and he hit him, how did he hit him from behind and not side on?
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, where was he on the road? Like, how was he not up on a footpath and why, you know?
I don't think there was one.
Right, okay, fair enough.
I don't think there was one. I think he was, like, probably, like, driving or walking home from a friend's house that, like, lived in the sticks or something. I would imagine.
Dusty country road vibes. And this was in the middle of the night?
No, this was in the middle of the day.
Oh, the middle of the day. Okay. Because I'm trying to imagine, like, you know, okay, but he would have seen, like, the headlights and stuff. So how quick was he coming for him that he couldn't, like, get out the way of the headlights kind of thing? You know? But then I guess during the day also, no. Sus.
It's a bit suspicious, like. It's very murky and, like, nobody really knows too much about it. But anyway. So panicked, David rushed home to inform his mother of the accident. So they, as a family, a lovely little bonding exercise, they cleaned the blood off of the car. And David was sent to the mechanics to get the dent fixed. So the thing is, the truck had another, like, you know, additional 40 fucking million dents and dings in it. So immediately the mechanic was like, why are you bothering just to fix this one?
Yeah.
This is an absolute Nissan shitbox, if I've ever seen one. Why the fuck are you bothering to fix it like?
A Nissan shitbox.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the car was, like, no way would it have passed its NCT.
Right, right. Barely roadworthy.
Exactly.
She turned up with a hope and a prayer.
Exactly. Hopes and dreams is what this fucking cunt ran on, right? Oh. And, like, your man, you, of the Pictons, like, they've lived in this fucking town for, like, as long as they've lived, like. And, like, the mechanic knew as well that they didn't give a shit. Like, they weren't ones to be very, like, you know, caring of their things. Like, if the truck
right,
the truck
they're not wrecked. Preserving anything.
No, they didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't well kept. So, obviously, their cars weren't well kept. So, why did this one dent in particular matter? So, he already, like, immediately thought it was suspicious.
Alarm bells.
So, while
I would
this
be
was
too.
Going on, oh, yeah, absolutely. So, while this was all going on, Louise went down to check on Tim. She apparently checked for signs of life before rolling Tim into a fucking ditch instead of, you know, calling an ambulance, because obviously that was so difficult to do.
This is what I mean. Like, why did he go immediately home instead of being like, oh, fuck,
I'm going to call an ambulance.
Call an ambulance. I'm after hitting this kid. Like, it was an accident. There's nothing's going to happen to me, but we need to get him taken care of. Like, why the fuck did you go home? And now are we all automatically, like, on the murder cover-up scheme within 10 seconds?
Oh,
like,
immediate.
This
was
so
immediate effect. Yeah. Like, not really conversations I say were had. Oh,
yeah.
100%. Like, I know, look.
Killed again,
it's family. And you'll do anything for family. But at the same time, they've hit a child. It's different. Like, it. I know.
People, sorry. If Adam comes home having running over a 14-year-old child, I'm like, all right, well, you're going to prison.
Say hello
Shy
to my
child. For you. But, like, yeah.
Yeah.
You have murdered a child.
Yeah.
Through negligence or otherwise.
But see, the thing is, right, as well, and I'll say it to you now in a minute, but Tim's body was discovered in the ditch the following morning. And once it made the news, the mechanic had contacted the police to report on the work that he did on the Picton's truck the day before.
Good man.
Now, while Tim, bless him, was mangled after he'd been hit by the car, his injuries weren't bad enough that it would have killed him. His autopsy concluded that he actually died by drowning.
Oh.
Yeah, so when he would have gone into the ditch, obviously he was too fucking weak to get himself out because he's just been mangled by a car that he drowned in the ditch water.
That is a fucking sin. That, oh my Christ.
A fucking sin.
The boy wasn't even dead when they rolled him off the road. Why? No. Why did they not call it out? He wasn't even dead. If he was dead, I would have said something.
It was completely pointless.
What the
completely
fuck?
Completely pointless.
That's unbelievable.
It's so sad. It's so sad. And to make it even worse, David had practically gotten away with this scot-free. So he was let out on parole and his license was only suspended for 4 years until he turned 21. Like,
and how old was he at the time?
16.
Okay, so like the 4 years would have come faster.
Yeah, so he would have just got his license. Like, I don't know if it was same day, but it was, like, very, very close.
Mm-hmm.
Just
ridiculous.
To take it off him until then. And, like, no community service, no nothing. His, like, the charge actually wasn't even for, like, hitting him. His charge was for not remaining at the scene of an accident, which is lunacy. And Louise obviously was never investigated at all. We only know that, like, her part in it, that she's the one that, like, actually pushed him into the fucking ditch. Because I think the autopsy, or the coroner just kind of thought, oh, maybe he was somewhat weight conscious, tried to drag himself
up rolling himself, yeah.
Into the ditch, yeah. So she would tell their friends, any friends that they did have, if, like, they were misbehaving in her house, be like, you know, I fucking killed a boy once, I'll do it again. And, like, you know, like, don't cross me. And then, like, the lads would obviously tell other people that, like, you know, my mum, like, rolled Tim into a ditch. I mean, she's a fucking wispy-haired fucking wagon bitch. And I hope she's rotten. Anyway.
That is fucking insane.
It's absolutely scandalous.
Jesus Christ. Imagine bragging about killing a child.
Oh, to other children?
To other children. Like, that was the one that got me.
Insanity. Honestly, by the time Robert was 20, he was a skilled butcher that could do 20 plus animals a day. But with time and practice, that number doubled. So he was, like, able to do, like, that's a heavy job.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? Like, that takes such skill, such precision, and it's a lot of fucking lugging around. So the fact that he was able to do like 40 animals a fucking day, it's just, I don't know what, like, if that is really good, but to me, I feel like that's kind of impressive. Like,
no, I think it is, because like, to be able to like break them down, you have to crack the bones and fucking, you know, everything. Precisely, yeah. Clean everything and fucking take all the innards away and blah blah blah. Like, it's not a quick process to completely butcher an entire animal.
Mm.
By any means, by anyone's standards, I don't think. So 40 a day is crazy.
It's insanity. And unfortunately, this would be a skill that would prove very effective once he turned his attention from butchering something aside from animals. Now, I know we were slagging him earlier on for being like, how dare, like, who would ever want to even entertain a conversation with this fucking loser? But also, like, even in like a romantic sense. In around his early 20s, he did actually find a pen pal. I think they had like services like once upon a time. Do you know, like, you put an advert in the newspaper to be like, sign up for a pen pal.
Lonely heart seeks interesting conversation through letter.
Oh my God, my favourite thing used to be when we would be in English. Do you remember they'd bring in the Farmer's Journal and you'd be reading the Lonely Heart ads in the Farmer's Journal? Quality entertainment, honestly.
Truly. Is there anything sadder than a Lonely Heart ad?
Especially from old farmers. Like, oh my God, no, but it was just...
Genuinely.
You know, some of them were gas. Some of them were really sad, but some of them were hilarious. But anyway, so he ended up chatting to this one in America, right? They exchanged letters and he was planning to drive down to see her, right?
Okay.
Man goes on this 6-week fucking excursion, living the American dream. He's been offered work on the side of the road. Apparently, people wanted to sign him up to be a model. I doubt that very much, Robert.
I doubt that too, Robert.
I feel like you're telling a small lie, just a tiny one, but nobody is looking at you, hon, and thinking that you'd model anything well.
Drinking too much of that California dream soup, like it's...
Oh, facts, yeah. I think he was on the same fucking kerosene dreams as Pee-wee, because there was not a hope of God. Not a hope of God.
Imagining things.
He was having little imagines as he was driving, and then he somehow convinced himself that this was like a real...
It happened. Yeah. 100%.
Not never. So anyway, he meets up with this girl and apparently he really, really liked her. All this kind of bullshit, but she's from America. He's from Canada. His life is a farm. He can't give it up. So it wasn't meant to be. Right?
The world's tiniest violin plays.
Shy. I guarantee you she got one whiff of him and was like, oh my holy divine Christ.
I liked you better on paper.
Absolutely. And then just out of sheer, like, you know, embarrassment, he just couldn't tell anybody that that's actually what it was.
100%. But
when he returned home, he found that his horse had actually gotten a bit ill and then it did actually eventually end up passing away. Instead of being like a normal person and burying it or having some sort of little service for it, he cut the head off the horse and then mounted it onto a plaque and put it in his creepy bedroom that was in the basement of the family house.
Why?
And just thought that was like an acceptable thing to do.
Why would you mount your horse, your noble steed, your trusty friend, as a trophy in your house after it died? Yeah, literally.
Like, if the whole calf thing traumatised you as much,
do you know,
you didn't go mounting that fucker's head in the wall, did you?
Exactly. So what are you shiting on about? Sick.
Sick. Sick and twisted. The late 1970s were a tough few years for the Picton family because, unfortunately, well, I'll say unfortunately, yeah, because I don't know Leonard like that. So I'm going to assume he was maybe all right. He ended up passing away in 1977. He was like 92, so he lived...
Jesus.
He lived, especially for like a working...
Right, yeah, like, farming man, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I know they were well off farmers, but it was like, they still, like, he still worked. But I wonder, case, you know, the way some people say that it's when you, like, when you stop working is when you, you know...
It's what kills you. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
So maybe. But there's also a massive fire in one of the piggeries that killed 600 pigs in one fire. So like that was like fucking 90% of their stock gone.
All of fucking Robert's girlfriends.
Oh my God. Oh my God, I'm just thinking about the poor fucking pigs now. God knows where he was touching them. Anyway.
Honestly.
So that was in 1978.
Better off hoping bacon.
And the death of Louise in 1979. So with Louise's passing, each child got 90,000. Right?
Ooh.
The farm split three ways and in today's money that farm was worth like $1 million. So like, I mean, it was a well-to-do, like they were doing, they were fucking millionaires. Like. But for Robert to get his share, he had to stay on the farm until he was 40. So just say fucking Linda and David got given the 90k up front, their share of the house. David or Robert only got 20k and then when he turned 40, he'd get his 90k.
Right.
and as well as the shirt is the farm. And so it's kind of speculated that Robert was, like, his life was the farm. So I think his ma just wanted to ensure that it stayed that way.
Kept it going, yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. Like it makes sense. It's kind of a failsafe. Like, you look after the farm for this many plus years until you've had your own kids and they can kind of take over again like you did and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Like, when he's in his 40s, he should realistically be married with kids by that stage if you're going by, like, normal timelines.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So with the additional 20k is, like, just for your troubles.
Yeah, so you're not left with nothing while your brother and sister are frolicking around with 90 grand. Here's your 20, but you get 90 grand as well at the end of it all.
Yeah.
Like, handy out. Seems like a good deal, in fairness, like.
Yeah. And then, obviously, he has, I know he was making profit through the farm as well, so.
Yeah.
It was grand. But now, with no one to answer to, and money at his disposal, Robert was free to do whatever he wanted. Whatever he wanted. Because there was no mother that he loved, but also was kind of afraid of. Like, what she said was Bible, like, it was gospel. There was no way, like, he would do anything that would, like, even slightly upset her. No, he was a bit of a shank, was Robert, because he would hire teenagers, wouldn't pay them. He would take
kids. Gee, where have we heard this before?
Oh, yeah. It's sounding a bit gacy-ish, but anyway.
Just a scooch.
He would employ teenagers from, like, special centres to, like, come and do work. Kind of on a work experience type deal, because, like, that they were still in school. But, right. Like, he had it planned that he dropped them just after lunch was over, so then he could ravage the bins like a rat and eat food from that. Not like the man wasn't actually a millionaire, because, like, if he sold up that farm, he would have got so much more money than that fucking 90k. So, you know, it's not like man was short money by any means, but this is what he chose to do. This was the life he chose to lead. Disgusting.
He literally just got 20 grand. Like, what do you do?
It was absolutely sick. But he also had a chop shop, right? Where the teenagers would go and rob cars. And he also had, like, a deal with the Hells Angels, because they had a chapter. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They had a chapter in Vancouver.
He just suddenly became a fucking crime lord. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah. I feel like it was in the blood, though. I feel like it was just destined for them. Because it was, like, him and David's operation. Like, the two of them had it set up. And they weren't ever, like, really caught or had any repercussions, because the police were too busy tracking down Vancouver's first serial killer, Clifford Olson. So they just kind of slipped through the cracks.
Jesus Christ.
The police, in this case, are awful. They have one shining star. They have only one shining star in this entire operation. Was he listened to? No.
No.
Not really.
When are they ever?
When are they ever?
When are they ever?
But there was one person that did try. But the rest of them, so beyond fucking useless. And it's really sad, because apparently there was one girl that had survived Clifford Olson, and it's thought that she is actually a victim of Robert Picton. So, like, when she was, like, in her early teens, she survived.
So Clifford Olson got her, she got away, and then later Robert Picton got her.
A couple of years later, yeah. Like,
Jesus,
how
fucking Christ.
Fucking unfortunate do you have to be?
Genuinely, like, tell me I'm not supposed to be on this earth without telling me. Like, what the fuck?
It's insane. Like, two
this
serial killers.
Fortune.
Two fucking serial killers.
Poor
insane.
Girl.
So the farm kind of became a hub for, like, unsavory characters, if you want to call it that. Like, you had the Hens Angels coming in. You had fucking drug dealers, drug addicts. You had, like, sex workers. People that were kind of on that side of the law.
Yeah.
Kind of just
people his mother would not have tolerated.
Not a hope of God. And, like, they'd, like, throw raves in the slaughterhouse, which, like, I, not that I would have attended, or not that I want to, but I'd kind of just like to see ring camera footage of what those raves looked like.
Yeah.
I feel like
it
would look,
like,
a bit mental.
Was it, like, honky-tonk still? But, like, no, rave vibes?
No, it's, like, rave.
Huh.
Because we're coming into the 80s now.
That's, I just, a rave at the pig farm does not seem like something you
not
should
even
ever
the pig
do.
Farm, in the slaughterhouse. Just makes it that bit weirder.
Like, for, like, a Halloween party or something, I could see it. But, like, what the fuck, like.
What the fuck?
How is this the way he went after his parents died?
I know. It, like, I just.
Drug lord, rave king, like.
I'd say he just gave them, like, a space where they could do that. And obviously he was actively participating. But I'm sure if there was, like, drug deals going down on his property, he was probably getting something in return.
Well, if nothing else, friendship.
God bless.
He was a lonely boy.
But when he wasn't, you know, raving his fucking days away in the slaughterhouse, Robert would actually have to go to work and, like, that, take care of the pigs. And he'd also have to take waste parts of the animals and bring them to a rendering plant, which basically just recycles the waste into reusable items like oils and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd have to visit this plant quite frequently, and it wouldn't be long before he noticed that just a block away, sex workers were lying in the streets. So the downtown east side of Vancouver was known to be one of the rougher areas at the time. So people that suffered with mental issues, that institution, like the big mental hospital that had like 5,000 patients, that just suddenly closed down and everybody was left to just roam the streets. Because no government was trying to take care of these poor people at all. Or if anybody suffered with like drug abuse, or if they lived below the poverty line, they were essentially moved and abandoned in this area. Like, nobody wanted anything to do with them. And essentially they had to turn to crime in order to survive for a lot of them. And then a lot of women and girls would have to turn to sex work to support themselves. And Robert wouldn't be the only serial killer to claim victims from this area. Like we mentioned before, Clifford Olson made an appearance, but also Gary Ridgway. So you had three bastards, like serial killers, work in this area. Like, this was such a dangerous place for women to be.
Like, I understand you got to make a living, but does it have to be there? Like, why are people going there still?
I know.
Does it have to be there?
Like, I know there's like Jesus when you have a choice, but fuck me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sad.
It's crazy.
Three serial killers patrolling one tiny area is insane.
You really have to feel like fuck you as a person. Like, being one of the women strolling up and down there and just thinking like, there's at least three guys. Somebody had to have clocked it. Like, there's at least three guys who've been taking girls who don't come back.
Like, so many girls went missing. So many. Like, how many cunts did, like, you know, that's just the three of them that we know about, right?
Right.
They're serial killers. Can you imagine just, like, people in general that would go out and, like, murder someone? The way men, they can't control themselves. Oh, well, she's just a sex worker. I'll just kill her.
Right.
Like, can you imagine how many women went missing and were killed in this one area alone? Like, how many did Gary Ridgway kill? Or, like, Clifford Olson? Or our man's fucking claiming to kill up to 49 women and was raging that he didn't get to 50. Not that he was able to count to 50 because he was a take a shit.
He definitely killed like four and just can't count. Just been Henry Lee Lucas and the rest of his way up.
Oh yeah, pure liar at that. Yeah, I just think it's just mental, really, to think of. Because they were all kind of operating like not too far apart of each other, like, at all.
And that no one thought, like, hey, this is actually an issue. Maybe we should protect these people, like...
Oh, yeah.
No.
Sure, of course. Like, not that I'm saying this, but I feel like they were just looked at as, like, the dregs of society, so who cares?
Yeah.
Who's going scum to miss the earth them when they actively have families that will and do miss them.
Yeah. And they were doing what they had to do, given their circumstances that you created, but okay, fuck you.
Yeah. You put them in this box, but fuck them for trying to get out of it, like, just...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway, we'll move on or we're going to get mad.
Yeah. Too late.
So obviously we know now that Robert liked to dabble in the crime world, from, you know, hosting fucking drug raves, having chop shops, fucking employing kids and not paying them like a scab. It only progressed. And in March 1977, Robert was arrested for attempted murder of Wendy Lynn Esther. So it saw that the pair had an altercation. Robert somehow handcuffed one of Wendy's hands to what, I don't know, but stabbed her repeatedly as well. And thankfully, Wendy was able to escape and she contacted the police. However, she did drop the charges. So Wendy was a sex worker. So I'm only wondering if she dropped the charges in fear that she would also get in trouble. So she just was like, do you know what? It's actually not worth it. I've been stabbed, but I'm fine. Maybe she wanted to
let me just walk away from this. Like, yeah,
exactly. Like between her and Robert. Because if you think of it, like, she, like, he has David, who is also a nutter. The Hell's Angels are like, you know, he's pally with them. I'm sure if he wanted to say, oh yeah, well, I'm in trouble, get this bitch.
Yeah.
She's put me in here to be a, yeah, but no matter.
Agreed.
So I'd say.
No. And also he handcuffed her and stabbed the shit out of her. Like, it's not really like someone you want to fuck with in general.
No.
Aside from all the extras.
And like, I think this is meant to be like his first like noted violent attack.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very firsty to me.
No. But then
it doesn't sound professional, but like it doesn't sound very first.
And but if you even then, like, you're going to get into it next week, but the way that he kills these women is just absolutely septic. And what he does with their bodies is absolutely septic. So like, given like how depraved he is doing that, like, it wouldn't surprise me if he just had like a flick of a switch and then it just went from like 0 to 90 and then just snowballed from there. But that's where I'm going to leave the story off, because after this, in 2 years' time, in 1999, we have his first murder. Well, his first
successful confirmed murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay! Fun times ahead.
Love that for us. We're back with a heavy hitter series. Why is he such a dirty bastard? Why did we agree to do this again?
I will say, I don't know.
Is it because we got a friend request for more?
No, that was an Australian one, which we do need to do. Right. It was Aussie.
We'll go on to that next. The Aussies are fun. We've only done the Granny Killer, which was both grim and hilarious at the same time.
Exactly. They gave us some recommendations from what I remember, actually, as well.
I'm pretty sure they did.
What the fuck?
But alas, we will carry on with this one first. So, this is actually kind of a short episode now, which is fine. Yeah. Not mad at it because I'm having a sensitive day and I kind of do want to just go back to bed now and lie down and maybe watch the Poughkeepsie Tape. Why do I keep it wrong? Keep putting an extra K in there. Poughkeepsie Tape. Anyway, I want to go watch that in bed.
I love how you're having a sensitive day and that's what you're choosing to watch.
Yeah, I did. Listen, it needs to be done. That and ice cream.
Ice cream, I understand. I'm also kind of tempted to order something. But then I'm like, I need to stop, one, being a fat bitch. And then, two, I have a few bits to do. Bits for your Christmas present have come in. And I've been working on it, I will say, not every day, but nearly every day since I told you I was doing it. And anytime, honestly, I'm an evil genius, if I do say so myself, and I am counting down the day till I can fucking give you your Christmas presents, just because I think it's fantastic.
I may already have one of yours as well, and I just need to get Grievous part of it, because it's a whole sort of themed thing again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Years are all interconnected as well.
We need all the pieces for one of them to work at all in the first place, so I kind of get what you mean. And I can't fucking wait to reveal it and like have it all planned and done and ready to go. And we need to figure out when Nugget Christmas is going to be.
I know.
But I guess we'll just wait and see what our fucking work schedules are like. Because I know now, I'm working up until...
I'm home.
The 24th.
I'm home on the 9th. But then I'll be going to London for a few days. So Kiva will actually be with me. Maybe, is it like the 12th or 13th of December?
Right.
For like a couple of days. So when she's down with me, we could nearly do it then.
But anyways, do we have anything then before you go and get your Christmas present things done? And I go and feel sorry for myself when I should be cleaning.
I think I told the girls about it. I have a cute kid story that might be nice to listen to.
Go for it.
So one of my kids in school, I think he basically asked me to marry him in so many words because just say one day he'd brought in this book and it was all about a scarecrow and his missus that were going to get married. But before they got married, he had to go find some things for her, like a bell. I think it was like to signify, I don't know, like church bells and like a ribbon for her hair, for like a veil, all that kind of crap. But obviously there was drama in between where Scarecrow man didn't think he was going to get all these things and then he wasn't going to get married to the love of his life, you know? But then happy ending, he finds his bits. He finds the bell, he finds the bow, they get married. The following day, little kid comes in and he has something in his hand and I'm like, what has he got? He has a bell tied onto a necklace that he wanted me to wear. He had nicked his sister's hair clips that were like in the shape of little ribbons that he wanted me also to wear in my hair. And he bought in a book just for the two of us to read. Like he didn't want me to read it to the class. It was just like a me and him thing. And I was like, you love me.
Yeah, you have a husband now. You just have to wait for him to come of age.
God bless. I thought it was the cutest thing in the world. And his mom's like, I don't know
that
why
is
he's
so
like,
sweet.
She's like, he was so adamant that he wanted to bring these things in. And I was like, I think it's just his way of telling me he loves me because I read this story about a scarecrow getting married yesterday. That was it. That was my cute little bit. That's all the good news I have, really.
Very adorable.
It's very cute.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything myself. Boring vibes. I'm on holidays now for a week, so I'm gonna be chilling and the podcast is actually coming out on time. That's why we're back. So nice for us. That's about it. I don't really have anything else, so we just leave it here.
Yep. Stunning.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. Then we wish everyone a super spectacular, wonderful week, guys. Have a great time. Vaccinate your kids and always be a hypocrite.
Stunning.
Don't forget to send your ankles.
And join our cult.